This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are here live. It's a good thing I'm live somewhere. Here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram live. I'm here for you, here for your pets. I'm here to answer any questions you may have. Anything you want to talk about your pets, now is the time to do it. Why? Because, first of all, we're here and it's free. It's great to get some free advice, right? Free information, help you through whatever questions you may have. So now is the time to do it. How do you get a hold of me? Well, here on Pet Life Radio, 877-385-8882. You can just get a hold of me that way, 877-385-8882. Or if you're here, you're here already, you're watching me live, grab your pet, put them on your lap, and let's talk. Here on Instagram, I can't see you. You can see me. I can do a request. I'm going to try to accept this one, and hopefully it will go well. If it doesn't, you know what? You know what we'll do, Julianne? Let's wait a little bit. Let me get some questions answered because we've had issues. Once we have someone live and when I try to undo them, something happens to my sound and people are always, you know, asking to. All right, here's it. We're going to give it a shot and we're going to go live and let's see if this works. Anyway, Happy New Year to everybody coming up tomorrow. Hopefully you have a great time tonight. Let's get some questions. Let's start the day. And let's see what we got here. Certainly, somebody should have something to talk about. If not, I have some things to talk about. So let's start. So first of all, there's been a number of stories. It's very interesting and scary at the same time. This was going on several months ago, and now it seems to be happening again with a little more frequency. And that is dogs being stolen violently, either being attacked, being at gunpoint. There was a story about some dogs were stolen from someone at 7-Eleven parking lot. I mean, it's gone crazy. First of all, when you think about the number of dogs that are literally being put to sleep every single day at shelters, why would you don't even need to steal a dog? Go to a shelter. You can get a dog for $40 or whatever it is. It's insane. But it seems to be some of these breeds that are very popular, like the Frenchie, and it's still happening. And I got to tell you, I have 5 dogs. I walk them all together. And yes, I have my Frenchie. And in fact, now my son's out of town, so we're taking care of his 2 Frenchies. And, you know, it is a little nerve-wracking when you're sitting and walking these dogs and cars drive by. And normally when you're walking your dogs and a car drives by, you pay no attention. And yet now I'm literally paying attention. It's like, is this guy going to pull over? Is this guy going to stop? What do I do? Do I need to carry a gun when I walk my dogs? I mean, it is absolutely crazy, but it's happening. So be a little bit more cautious. Be a little bit more vigilant. If you have one of these dogs that are very popular, a Frenchie, for example, I don't know, ugly him up a little bit. Do something so he doesn't look as attractive as they usually do, because it's really, really crazy. And as I said, the best we can do is be aware. Another story that's happening, and this has been going on for a while as well, and that is that there was a story coming out of Vegas several weeks ago about these coyotes literally in the middle of the day walking down the street in a pack. I see that here as well in my neighborhood, believe it or not, and we are not really that close to the foothills where they usually come down, and they're looking, of course, for food. And the reason for that, obviously, as we know, we are basically infringing upon their property, their locales, their food supply. And now they're left with no choice but to come down and get food, steal, you know, attack smaller animals, whatever the case may be. Again, be careful. My daughter-in-law was walking with her son and their dog from their house to our house. They live close by. And there was a coyote that was like really following them and picking up speed. And she would turn around and look at him and he would stop. And as soon as she would again turn around and start walking towards the house, he would come up again. Finally, a guy was driving by in a car and saw this going on. And he like drove his car like almost at the coyote to scare him. And he honked his horn and finally the coyote ran off. But that's pretty gutsy. I remember I was up about a year ago going to visit a friend up on a street. It's an area called Mulholland. So it's kind of up in the hills. And I pull up in front of the house and I see a coyote like literally in the street. And normally when they would see a person, they would just literally take off and run. But this one didn't. It ran kind of like to the edge of some shrubbery bushes, you know, going into the mountainside, and just sat there and watched me. As long as I wasn't going to go towards him, he wasn't moving. He was not afraid. And he was just being very cautious. And this is what's happening. So again, something to be very aware of and take those necessary precautions. All right. I'm not walking Lulu in public as well. Yes, it's scary. And stuff is happening. I have a question here. I have a Doxy Poo Gucci that has a lump on her left side near her hind leg. I've been told it's common in poodles and is non-cantrous. Is that, well, you can't tell. Lumps could be many things. If they felt it and felt it was fatty and pretty sure, you can stick a needle into it very easily and see if it comes back all fat cells. That can be done in office. And if it's fatty and you want to leave it alone, no problem. It could be a recent shot reaction. This is where we often give vaccines and injections in the thigh. So it could be just a shot reaction, in which case, if she had vaccines recently or any kind of shot recently, it might be just a vaccine or an injection reaction. Again, totally benign, will go away. But if it's firm and it's fixed, then it could be a concern. And again, doing at the very least a cytology. Now, if it's something that you want off anyway, and this is very important, and this is when you plan your cases. If you have a mass that you really want to remove, regardless of what it is, then don't waste your time or money, in my opinion, on a cytology, unless you're really suspicious of something called the mast cell tumor, in which case you want to get wide margins, as wide as possible when you remove it, because sometimes the cancer cells extend farther than what you actually feel. They say you want to get about 2.5 centimeters, which is about an inch, okay, on all around the mass, and also depth-wise, as deep as you can, depending on, again, where it is. You might have to cut into muscle a little bit. But what I usually do, if it's in an area of the body where regardless of what it is, I'd like to get an inch around it. So then I don't bother with the cytology. It's a waste of money when you're going to biopsy it anyway. Cytologies often don't come back diagnostic. You will often get something that says inconclusive. If you didn't get the right cell, the bad cell that's part of this mass, it's going to come back inconclusive. What are you going to do? You're going to remove it anyway. And then once you remove it, you're going to do a biopsy. Well, skip the cytology step if it's something that you really think you want to have it removed regardless. Now, let's say you don't think it's not that big, it's not bothering the dog, it's not bothering you. You don't want to knock him out and do anesthesia now, but you just want to make sure it's nothing to be serious. Then yes, do the cytology. Maybe you get lucky. If it comes back inconclusive, which it may, then you're going to be faced with that decision anyway to just take it off. But I wouldn't say anything is common. There's certain breeds, like for example, mast cells. Labradors are known to get mast cell tumors, boxers, golden retrievers. So, you know, I would say if it's not bothering the dog and your vet is sure, then you can leave it alone. That's okay. But I would feel more comfortable knowing that at the very least, a cytology was attempted and see what kind of cells you find. If it's fatty, it's an easy one to diagnose in the office. All right. Update on my mysterious illness. Okay. And what was that illness? I want to hear that. The city is not their habitat. They are breeding so much and encroaching into busy neighbors. And that is true. That's exactly what they're doing. And it's not their normal habitat, but their own normal habitat is not theirs anymore, or there's too much construction going on and these things. And that's exactly what's happening. So do we have reason for concern? Absolutely. But we have to think deep down inside that it might even be a little bit of the problem is our problem because of us. And it's one of those things. It's tough, and there's no easy answer either, but we just have to deal with it. But just be careful, because if you have little dogs or cats, you want to be really careful. Yes, and I vote for remove and biopsy. Again, I totally agree. That is usually what I recommend. Now, if it's something that I think is benign and I see their teeth and the teeth look like, in the next few months, we're going to need to do a dentistry, or if it's a little ugly thing and you don't want it on, maybe it's oozing a little bit. I always say, if it's truly benign, or I think it's benign, and I don't like to anesthetize a dog just for a little benign thing because it's cosmetic. Now, if I know an impending dentistry is coming up, or we have another reason to anesthetize this dog, then yes, 100%. That's when I take off the little lumps and the bumps and the warts and the little cysts, et cetera. Things that are benign, but take the advantage of the fact that they're already under anesthesia for something more significant. And then you just kind of add that in. So that's kind of my deal. So anyway, some other things. We talked about the longevity trial. As I said, we don't know much about it. They haven't even named the drug yet. They're still waiting. They said in order to get to the FDA, it takes 4 years. Oh, this is interesting. We mentioned about the coyotes in Las Vegas. Here's another Vegas story that they approved an ordinance requiring It's no longer an option, requiring that all dogs and cats be microchipped. I think it's a good idea. First of all, they feel that it's going to help unite, obviously, lost pets with their families. And by doing so, it will relieve some of the strain of overcrowding at the city's shelters and rescue groups. So sometimes the only reason that dog is there is because they couldn't get a hold of an owner. Somebody moved, they lost their tags. The owner doesn't even know where to call or who to call or which shelter to call or which rescue group to contact. So meanwhile, this poor dog who has a family is sitting in a cage somewhere waiting to be found or adopted or unfortunately may have to be put to sleep. So microchips, I heard stories before, you know, talking about lumps and bumps, about a tumor, because I have never, and I've been microchipping now for 30 years, I have never had a dog who had a bad tumor kind of reaction to a microchip. Now, sometimes do they migrate? Yes. Have I had some duds over the years? Yes. What I do now is I scan a microchip with a scanner before I implant it. What you don't want to find out is you had a dud. It's very infrequent, by the way, but it can happen after you've implanted the chip, because now you got to implant a second chip. So always test it first, implant the chip. And one thing you want to be really sure, when your veterinarian or a staff member at the hospital implants a microchip, you need to 100% get it checked. You need to register it, because if you don't register your chip, then it's as if you don't have a microchip. So again, you want to make sure all the chips that are implanted are registered immediately. It can be done online. Most of the companies, sometimes they even have like a little QR code. You just zap with your phone, register. Because if someone, how many times I've called in a microchip from a dog or that's been found, and we contact the one of the phone numbers that they have. They have a lot of toll-free numbers for the different microchip registries, and they often overlap. Sometimes you may need to call more than one. And I find out the microchip is still registered to the rescue group that adopted it out 7 years ago. That means the new owner never updated the information. And what's the point of having a microchip if you don't register and keep your registration current? You know, one of my favorite is the Save This Life microchip. And that's because, first of all, it's minimal charge to register, and they don't charge an annual fee. They don't, every time you change a phone number or change your address because you move, they don't charge you for it. And what I like about this one is because you can't implant a GPS. Now, I know what a lot of people are doing is they're getting those little luggage tags, the Apple tags that you can actually track with your phone. All right. They're using those as little medallions for the collar. I think it's a great idea, but you can't implant a GPS device. So what Save This Life does, every time you register your dog and you get a microchip, it has a 15-digit code. What they do is they create an account, a Google account for that number. It's like a fingerprint. There's only one. So now every time your pet is microchipped, it has a Google account with that microchip number. So what happens is they have a tag now that says, Google this number to find my family. So you find an animal and you see that tag, you Google it up. And then obviously that Google goes straight to Save This Life. They look up, they see that number belongs to you. Now they contact you on your phone. And now when you answer your phone and you're going to get a call coming in from Save This Life, and it now connects your two phones via satellite, and that Google map pops up with the A and the B pin, and you can see where the person is standing with your pet. And you can say, oh my God. And then you can actually hit the call and contact them. No phone numbers are exchanged. You don't even know who you're calling. There's no phone number. And then it contacts them. You can talk to them. Oh my God, I see you're so-and-so 6 blocks away. I'll be there in 3 minutes, whatever it is. So it's really a cool microchip, and it's a vast registry. So it's a good one. So by the way, those of you, you know, if you don't have any questions, I'm sure amongst your circle of friends, there are people, friends of yours, that have had issues with their dog, because I know for a fact that people talk about their dogs and their pets with each other all the time. Have them come on the show. Just tell them about our show every Sunday morning, or they can reach out to me. They can follow me on Instagram, and I'd be happy to talk to them. You know, it's interesting. I get so many calls. And in fact, I'm going to see a dog today referred by a neighbor who happens to live right down the street from me, a 60-second car ride. And they, you know, again, since we're closed today, Sunday, closed tomorrow for New Year's, and I can't see this poor dog waiting till Tuesday. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll zoom by your house and I'll take a look at it and see. And they're so pleased. What is it? Sweat off my back? Zero. It's that close. And again, the fact that, I can help this dog, maybe that's great. And probably, maybe not. It's okay too. They may end up being a client of mine. So I think it's, you know, sometimes it's a karma thing. I say it's not about the money. A guy came over to my house last night, another neighbor, you know, is me from the community I live in, and he's not a client. And he's a good guy. You see him around. And he calls me and he says, "Jeff, my dog, I think, stepped on something. He's limping acutely on his back leg. And I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's an emergency." And I said, "Ron, come over. I'm here. Come by." Brings the dog by. Of course, the dog gets here. It's not limping at all. And it's a cute little doodle. And again, I don't, he says, "What do I do?" I said, "Come on, you're a neighbor. Don't worry about it." So might he become a client? Maybe, and maybe not, but that's okay too. I feel I did my good deed. So maybe with the new year, I'll get a little extra blessings coming. So who knows? All right. Cities are failing us as far as the coyotes are concerned. We should not live in constant alert. Why not trap and relocate way up in the mountains and euthanize the sick ones? Again, that is true, but you know, it's they're traveling in packs and they're hard to catch. They really are. And I don't think there's enough manpower, unfortunately, right now to, you know, to dart them, to sedate them, take them up to wherever. But really, again, it's a great suggestion. I just don't know if there's enough food even there for them as it is now. So they're going to keep coming down and looking. And unfortunately, when they hit that garbage can or when they eat up that little kitty cat or that small dog and they jump into a yard. By the way, coyotes can really climb good fences. They're like Belgian Malinois dogs. They know how to climb. So, you know, it could be just one of those things that's their reward. So it's hard work. And yet when they get their kill or they get into that garbage or whatever it is, that's their reward. And they're going to, of course, as animals, they're going to keep doing it. My cat refuses. Hold on. Eric had an inhaler. All right. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a great question. We're overdue for our break. I'm getting dirty looks from our producer, Mark, over at Pet Life Radio. So let's break for a minute or two and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. We're back here live. We're talking about a very interesting disease. Thank you so much. It's called blastomycosis. We see some of these fungal infections, and they are usually in very dry, arid climates, usually spring or summer. And it's just in the air. It's in foliage. It could be from digging. So it's one of these things that we need to be careful of. I would talk to a veterinarian just to see if this is something that he or she sees on a more regular basis. I know most of the cases that I've seen here in Southern California have come from Arizona or desert areas, New Mexico. So it does happen. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. And treatment is very difficult and it oftentimes doesn't help. I mean, it can help a little bit, but it doesn't help a lot. So, all right, Hardwick Mom, we talked about this before the break, and that is this respiratory disease. Let's give an update. So I've been seeing dogs that have had this A respiratory disease that seems to be less receptive and responsive to medication. It doesn't seem to respond as quickly as, say, a basic kennel cough. Like an influenza, that's a virus. There is no antibiotic that's going to help anyway. So our recommendations really are, say, the same. We think that this new thing might more or less be just a combination of different. That's why they have no real answer. Is it a bacterium? Is it a virus? Have they been able to grow it? Because it might be more than just one infective agent. We just don't know. The recommendations really are the same. That is, we want to make sure your pets are up to date on the other respiratory vaccines, which are Bordetella, your influenza, and part of the DA2PP, that's parvo and parainfluenza. So those are the respiratories. Keep your pets current. Also, for now, until we see it's slowing down, by the way. try to keep your pets away from these large group gatherings, such as dog parks, such as doggy daycare, such as boarding facilities. Until we know. Now, even groomers can be a problem. I know a lot of grooming shops have taken precautions by only being very tight on their scheduling, one animal at a time. If an animal comes in, they have cages in the back. So there's no direct contact. And they're using some antibacterial sprays and products to keep the surfaces very clean, keep the air clean. You know, you see these commercials for like a Lysol that goes 99.9% of bacteria and viruses. That stuff could be helping. So we don't even know if the cases that I've seen are this disease or not. I fortunately have had none that have been very serious. One has been going on for like about a month now, but getting better. Dog is acting fine, but still has a cough, and the lungs still show evidence on x-ray of some sort of pulmonary problem, like a mild pneumonia, but it's doing finely. It's doing well. So how many cases in SoCal? I don't know, but I certainly have seen cases that might be this. Again, there's no test for it, so we can't tell you what it is. We usually go by how responsive is it to the medications, for example, doxycycline or Clavamox that we use for our basic kennel cough. All right. If it's working, then chances are it was kennel cough. If it's not working, then maybe it's something other. There is that one medication that people don't like to use called chloramphenicol. If it is prescribed, make sure you are being very careful. Wear gloves when you touch it. Wash your hands. There are some issues with chloramphenicol, but there are reports that dogs that have not responded to either the other medications that are better for, say, a kennel cough, a Bordetella infection, are responding well to this medication. So, you know, there may be something there. Now, every 3 years, current, it all depends on the vaccine. Most of the respiratory vaccines are once a year. The three-year vaccines that I can trust to be 3 years or longer are the distemper parvo, all right, and the rabies. And on the distemper parvo, as many of you know, I prefer titering. And even when it's due, quote unquote due, it may not really be due, but the vaccine manufacturer is telling us every 3 years, I do titer testing. And I will tell you that the vast majority of dogs that I titer test are still protected, still have a positive titer after 3 years. So on these, I push out. I push out. If I can go 5 or 6 years or 7 years, that's what I'm going to do. So there's a one, a 70% isopropyl alcohol to be safe when cleaning these areas. Better than bleach. Well, alcohol, it's good for cleaning. I don't know if it has the same bactericidal properties as bleach does. And the bleach, by the way, can be very diluted. It's one part to 32 parts, one part bleach to 32 parts water. So it's very, very, very dilute and it's effective. And things like Lysol sprays are pretty good as well. But again, they do dissipate quickly. All right, I'm going to try one more time. And if we, anything we should do to prevent blastomycosis in our new family dog, I don't know if there's any sprays since we don't really deal with it. I'm not as up to date on what we do as far as a preventive, but I know that it comes from soil. So digging might have been one of the problems. So prevent the dogs from digging holes. And again, talk to your local veterinarians who probably have seen cases like this and get some clues as to, and also, by the way, I'm sure, I always hesitate a little bit to say go to the internet, but I'm sure, again, the internet is going to have some good information as well. So give it a shot. All right. I think that's it for today. So for sure, if you have any questions, get a hold of me during the week. Just reach me here on Instagram. Again, when you're chatting with friends, anything coming up and you want to go ahead and have them talk to me, please do. Have them join our show on Sunday mornings. Have them follow me. Once they follow me, we can start a dialogue and then all of you can benefit again from that dialogue. And we know that's a good thing as well. All right. So good. We are good to go. I have a meeting in about 10 minutes. So I'm going to cut off early. And that might be calling me right now. So it was good visiting with you for sure. Have a very happy new year. Have a lot of fun, maybe not too much fun. So you're a little bit sane tomorrow, but there's a good football on today for you football watchers. And there's going to be some great college football on tomorrow. Have a wonderful new year. We will see you again next Sunday in 2024. Boy, this year went fast, didn't it? It's unbelievable. It just goes, it's moving too fast. And that means if I'm getting older, you're all getting older too. So just keep that in mind. All right. Happy New Year. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week. Always during the week, you need something, please contact me here on Instagram, here on Pet Life Radio. Anything you send to me, drjeff@petliferadio.com. It's going to come straight to me. And here just on Instagram, you'll find me and I'll help you out as much as I can. All right. Great New Year to all of you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.